You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
The 2019 federal election will be held on Saturday, May the 18th. A good question is where candidates stand on Armenian issues. To get an update, we have on the phone Haik Kayserian, Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia. Haik, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Guy. Good to be with you.
Haik, I presume it's been a busy and hectic few weeks. First, April 24 and the unprecedented media coverage, and now the federal elections. Did you have enough time to prepare for the elections?
Yes. Look, it's a very good observation. It has been a very busy period for us. But we're always preparing for elections because that's what politicians are always doing. I think their next campaign starts the day after they're elected, or even those that are not elected, they start campaigning for the following opportunity. The Armenian National Committee is actually in Canberra on every sitting period that Parliament is sitting. They sit 26 weeks a year, and during those 26 weeks, there are several sitting periods, and within each of those sitting periods, we get to see a bunch of politicians. We go and we meet with them, we talk about our issues. So our preparation from election to election is not purely those 5 weeks. We give a full 3 years for people who make pledges to the Armenian community or fulfill those pledges to the Armenian community. And of course, at this time, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on those records and look at meeting potentially new candidates, people who we haven't met, and receiving new pledges for the coming parliament, which promises to be another interesting one.
Haik, major parties are actively lobbying the ethnic vote. Are there electorates where Armenian vote can make a difference?
Yes, there are. There are several electorates where the Armenian vote will make a difference. And obviously, the closer some of these polls are, the more of a difference the Armenian vote makes. The Armenian vote will definitely be impactful like usual in Bennelong, which is in New South Wales, the area which covers Ryde, North Ryde, East Ryde, West Ryde, Ermington, all the way to Marsfield and a bunch of those areas. So that area is very heavily populated by Armenians. And we have a great database of Armenian voters who live there, and we speak to them before every election to understand their priorities. Similarly, obviously, with other Armenians around the country, we make sure that our representation of the Armenian community is as representative as it can be. So if issues are repeated when we're speaking to them before elections, we make sure that those are on our issue papers. They're in the affirmations of support that we seek from parliamentarians or potential parliamentarians that are vying for seats like Bennelong. The other seats that are worthwhile mentioning, I think Warringah is one of them. The whole country seems to be watching Warringah at the moment. Warringah is the seat that incorporates Forestville, Killarney Heights, French's Forest, all the way down to like Manly in New South Wales, of course. And it's sort of one side of Warringah Road for the locals that live there. There are a lot of Armenians that live in that area. The reason it's topical for the first time in 25 years is because Tony Abbott, the former Prime Minister, he seems to be in the fight of his life to keep that very previously safe blue ribbon Liberal seat. He's going up against Zali Steggall, who is a high-profile independent. She is barrister as well, a former Olympian, and she's going up against Tony Abbott, specifically on the issue of climate change. That electorate is somewhere we're watching very closely and engaging with both campaigns to see where they stand on our issues today. Tony Abbott, we know, prior to becoming Prime Minister, even as opposition leader, referred to the Armenian genocide as the Armenian genocide. And since after becoming Prime Minister, during that period that he was Prime Minister, he actually became the subject of much media attention when he seemed to gag Joe Hockey, the treasurer at the time and somebody of Armenian origin, from speaking about the Armenian genocide at the centenary commemorations of the Armenian genocide that took place here in Sydney. His government also didn't send anybody to Armenia for the centenary of the Armenian genocide. So we do have history there with Tony Abbott, the good and the not so good, but it is our responsibility on behalf of our community to find out where he stands today because if we don't know, we can only accept where he used to stand the last time he reflected on this issue. But our understanding is that from his campaign that he's obviously was gagged as Prime Minister, and that might not necessarily be his current stance. That's something we're seeking to find out. We're also engaging with Zali Steggall's campaign, and we should have some information about where she stands on our issues as well. Other than Warringah and Bennelong, I'll just flick out some names that are electorates that are important. In New South Wales, I think North Sydney, where Trent Zimmerman is fighting to stay in his seat. Paul Fletcher's seat, which is Bradfield. McKellar, which is Jason Falinski's seat. McMahon, which is Chris Bowen's seat. And Greenway, which is Michelle Rowland's seat. I'm sure I'm missing some off the top of my head, Vaya, but these are some of the important seats in our part of the world, in New South Wales, that we're looking at. In Victoria, Chisholm is a very important seat. That covers like areas including Mount Waverley, Glen Waverley, those areas which are quite populated by Armenians. Bruce, which is Springvale and the like. There's also the electorate of Hotham, which basically neighbours these ones as well, where we've got quite a few Armenians there. We're also watching seats like Dunkley very closely, where Chris Grutha is in a very tight race against his opponent. Chris Grutha has been a supporter of our issues. Michael Suka in Deakin, who recently spoke on the motion of on the Armenian genocide, he's also in a battle. We're looking at all of our friends in Parliament who have come on the record over the last 12 to 18 months speaking very strongly for Australia's recognition of the Armenian genocide. And we're looking at the seats of all of our friends who, even when their leaders snubbed us during the Armenian genocide commemorations that you referred to before, they stood firm on this issue and continued their advocating. So we've been meeting with a lot of these people, talking to their campaigns, reaffirming their commitments. These are the seats that are quite important. And if you like, later on, I can go into more specific details in terms of what we're asking from them.
Yeah, could you talk about your meetings and issues, concerns raised with candidates?
Sure. There are probably four or five primary areas that we focus with candidates. Some of them change depending on the electorate, because some of our community might have certain needs that are very local. For example, in Bennelong, there might be an issue regarding the community centre or scout hall, which we'll deal with just with the candidates in Bennelong. In the area of McKellar, which is Jason Falinski's seat, we might talk to him about the Armenian school, Golston College, which lies in his electorate, and talk about specific things there. So I think those things aside, we change based on locality. The primary issues of concern to Armenian Australians federally remains the fact that Australia is not on the side of truth and justice when it comes to the Armenian genocide. We are waiting for the Australian government to change its opinion on this, and we are looking for friends that are going to push that issue. So what we have done in these meetings is those who have records of pushing on these issues, we have sought reaffirmation from them that they will continue to do that regardless of what the position of their party is or leaders are. They will continue to do that as individuals. That's one thing we've sought from them. If they are not somebody with a record, we have explained to them about what the Armenian genocide was, given them background information, and sought their affirmation that if they are elected, they will fight for this issue to be dealt with the right way by Australia. We have given documents for them to sign in affirmation pledges on this issue, and we've collected at least a couple of dozen signatures on that. So we've got a lot of friends and new friends and pledging to be new friends in the parliament already because of these meetings. The same thing with Artsakh. Obviously, the issue of Artsakh requires a lot more information and education because it isn't an issue as well known in Australian public circles as the Armenian genocide has become over the years. However, our concerns on the Artsakh issue, where Australia stands on it, the fact that it is not necessarily neutral, the fact that Azerbaijan violates the ceasefire between the countries, the fact that certain Australian politicians seem to be warm and fuzzy to Azerbaijan, the fact that certain departments seem to be warm and fuzzy with Azerbaijan, these are issues that we need friends in Parliament who are going to stand up and say, I am a friend of Artsakh. I do not stand for this sort of side-taking when it comes to this issue, taking the side of a despotic dictator like Aliyev is and his regime is in Azerbaijan. These friends are what we've been seeking in our meetings, Vahe. And those friends are who have taken our issues from where they used to be to where they are today. And I'm sure your listeners who regularly hear our chats will know that it's definitely come a long way, you know, from Armenian genocide not being mentioned at all, being taboo, to being debated twice in one year in two separate motions in the federal parliament. These are because of our friends in parliament. So it is in our interests to make sure that those friends are willing to remain friends. The answer there is pretty much a universal tick. Those who are seeking to be elected by Armenian Australians will also declare that they will be friends should they be elected, and that has obviously yielded mixed results depending on the areas, etc. On Thursday, we will be releasing our election guide, so it'll be a couple of days before Election Day Saturday, and that will have details of the several correspondences, meetings that we've had over the last 3 years and also in the lead-up to this election with the candidates that obviously entertained us, for our community to see exactly where people stand on these very important issues. So the important issues are the Armenian genocide, Artsakh, where we're seeking friends to take these much further in the next parliament, and local issues that are community-related, supporters of those issues so that we can advance our schools, our halls, our organisations, the sustainability of the Armenian-Australian community, in short, and also those who are willing to assist us in enhancing bilateral relations between Armenia and Australia, Artsakh and Australia. The reason for that being our community really values a stronger relationship between the country of their origin and the country of their citizenship.
Hi, will the list include also candidates outside Sydney and Melbourne who have expressed their willingness to raise Armenian issues in federal parliament?
Yes, they will. We're talking to a few candidates in South Australia. We're talking to candidates in Perth. And depending on the engagement that we have with these candidates in the lead up to this election, they will also form a part of that election guide. I will also add here, Vahe, that it will also include an important piece of information about the Senate. So what, you know, when you go to vote on election day, regardless of where you're located in Australia, you'll get a big white piece of paper and you'll get a small green piece of paper. The small green piece of paper is where you vote for your local member, your member of parliament, member of the House of Representatives. On that small green piece of paper, you can refer to, if you wish, our election guide, where it will show you where people in your electorate stand on our issues, within the electorates, obviously, that we've covered, the primarily Armenian populated electorates. The larger piece of paper is for the Senate, the upper house. And over there, on that piece of paper, the most typical way to vote is what they say above the line, where it's basically a large list of political parties. All the political parties that want to be in the Senate have their name at the top of that white, large white form. Now, it's important that we realise if we vote above the line, basically put a number one next to one of those parties, we are wanting that party to be in the Senate, right? So the information that we're going to give to our community in the lead up to this election are the parties that have party positions to recognise the Armenian genocide. So there are political parties, and they're not the major ones. It's not the Liberal or the Labour Party, but there are parties that might have quite a significant say in the next Senate who have party positions. Their whole political party has decided at their conventions, at their decision-making meetings, that they want the Australian government to recognise the Armenian genocide. These parties will be listed in our report cards as well, so that our community can take this information into account when they go to vote on that big white piece of paper. You know, it's the most typical thing that, you know, the green piece of paper and the white piece of paper, usually they reflect each other. You know, if you vote for a Liberal on the green one, chances are you'll vote for the Liberal Party on the white one. Same thing for Labor. What we're saying based on our election guide is look at them very separately. You know, it's important for us to have people that are willing to put their neck on the line to achieve truth and justice. All the countries that have recognized the Armenian genocide, and if we use Germany as one example, they have taken people that are willing to swim against the current. And we want the larger parties to swim against the current on this so that truth and justice is achieved. However, we also need to reward those of smaller parties who might have a major say in the next parliament, by the way, who are willing to swim against the current now. In Germany, the person who put the motion in play that ended up passing was a gentleman named Cem Özdemir. Cem Özdemir is not from one of the major parties. He's from the Green Party in Germany. So it is very important for us to treat these very differently and look at the recommendations that the Armenian National Committee of Australia has made on your behalf for your attention on Thursday when our election guide is released at anc.org.au.
Hi, thank you very much for the interview. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Same, Bahia. Thank you very much.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.